Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been a tremendous blessing being here this morning already. As we consider building each other up, as we consider encouraging each other, blessing each other, and it's just been very good. Our words are, I don't think I know how easily they can hurt someone. It can even be an unintentional. So thank you for sharing that, Brother John. If we could, why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful this morning for your presence here in our midst. We're thankful, Lord, that you are here with us. We're thankful, Lord, that you are a God that is alive, and you're not a God that is way off somewhere far away, but Lord, you desire to dwell with your people, and you're here in our midst this morning, and we're thankful, Lord. We pray that as we are gathered together to seek you, Lord, we pray that you would minister to each one of our lives, as you've already have been ministering to us through the hymns that we sang, through the words that we've heard, Lord. And Father, may you help each one of us resolve in our hearts to build up the brotherhood here, to build up each brother and each sister, and to not say anything that would tear down or hurt. Lord, we want you to have the preeminence in our hearts. Father, I do pray that you'd be with be with me as I, this burden that you've given upon my heart, Lord, that we would, that I would be able to share it, Lord, as you've laid it upon my heart. Lord, I even if I say everything just right, unless your Spirit is here to quicken your word, it is dead, it is vain. And so we are asking, Father, that you would minister life to us, Lord, and I just desire to be the vessel that you can use today for your glory and honor. So have your way, Lord. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So the burden that the Lord has been laying upon my heart has been faith. Faith. It's been something that God has been doing, stirring in my heart for the last several weeks. So how do we describe faith? If I would ask you all to give a definition of faith, we could hear a lot of definitions, and probably most of them would be right. It's just something that is kind of hard to give a sentence and say this is what faith is or what faith means. And I'm not the one that should be teaching you this morning on this, except for the fact that that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. Teaching is not one of my strong gifts. So what would you say if I was to ask you, what is faith? And you know, as we share the gospel, many times people say, well, you know, I believe, I have faith. Them are words. You know, can we take people at their word when they say that I believe or I have faith? Is it enough to believe? How do you and I know if we have faith? Can we see faith? Can faith grow? So this morning, before I start on the actual message, I'd like to go to Galatians 5 and read from verse 16 to the end, to lay a little groundwork on for what we want to share this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also tell you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so this morning we have two lists here. One is the works of the flesh. We see here that there's a war going on. There's the works of the flesh, the fleshly things that men do, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. And we don't have both. The outworkings of serving the flesh. At the end of verse 21, he tells us that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he starts verse 16 by telling us to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, it tells us that we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And verse 22 and 23 are the evidences of a man that is walking in the Spirit. But the fruit of that Spirit that we say that we're walking in is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that are in our life if we say, if we're walking in the Spirit. This is the evidence. This is the fruit. And this morning we're not going to talk about all the fruit of the Spirit, but we want to look at faith as being, it is a package deal. I don't think that you can have half of the fruit and half not fruit. I think this is an evident thing that maybe not, when you're first born again, it's not seen as much, but as you continue to grow, these are evident things in our lives. They are the fruit of the Spirit. That is what is coming out because of God's Spirit working or living in here. And so faith, it is one of the ingredients of God's children that will be evident. It is a fruit. It is something that is visible. And the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Strong's tells us what the definition of faith is: faithfulness, belief, trust, with an implication that actions based on that trust may follow. The faith often refers to the Christian system of beliefs and lifestyle. So obviously it's something that we can see. It is not this mystical thing that I have faith and you know, everything is, I have faith so I'm all right. That's not what faith is. So another question I have is: faith a verb or is it a noun? It's a fruit. It's a noun. It's something that you possess. Something that you have or then you don't have. It is not something that you just do. Faith is a noun. And if you look in the Strong's, it's a noun. It's something that is tangible that you have. What is it? What is that faith? You know, I think that many people, as you are witnessing, they say, well, I have faith. what is their faith based on? I think many times it's based on their own faith. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It's not the faith is their faith is not based on God Himself. Faith is a noun. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. You can't do faith, and yet faith will always create an action in our life. James 2, and we'll be reading from verse 14 to the end again. James 2, 14 to the end. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So in verse 14, he asks a very important question. Though a man may say that he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? And then he goes on the rest of the chapter in different ways and forms and answers that question that he asks. Can faith save him if there is no works? If actions of my life are contrary to God's word, by me and opening my mouth and telling you of my great faith, what will it profit me? It profiteth nothing. There's nothing there. When I stand before the judgment seat that way, surely God will believe me, right? If I tell him how great a faith I have. Now it is also just as fatal if I am trying by my works to find merit with God. If all I'm doing is doing the right thing and yet not having faith in God, that is just as fatal and just as deadly. All my good deeds are of no value unless I have faith. And yet faith without works is dead. So what is faith? By the end of our time here, by using God's word here, we want to see if we can get answer that question. I've struggled trying to explain what faith is. And you know, when life is going well, and everything is just clicking along, and there's no trouble, there's really no need for a lot of faith. But it's when life gets tough, when life is at its hardest, when life is at its most difficult time, that's when we need faith. We need faith all the time, but that is when, we'll see it here in James, it talks about the trying of our faith. So we'll get to that, I guess. So we have that question in verse 14, and then he goes in verse 15 and 16, and he's bringing out a point here, and he's trying to explain what faith is. He's saying, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So in other words, Brother David comes to me and he's saying, I'm hungry. Or I need clothes. I don't have it. And you know, that is so foreign to us here in America. That is so foreign to us. But it is not to most of the world. But it is foreign to us here this morning. Now, I have in my pantry, or I have in my closet, those things which David needs. And I just tell David to go home, and God will take care of you. He's saying, is that faith? Is that faith? I have the means to give to Brother David. This is what he's teaching us here. What doth it profit, he's asking. What does it profit? I say I have faith, but I do not give what my brother needs. It's vain. It's vain. There's no works there. My faith is... I have no faith. So according to this verse, if you come... The evidence, my response is the evidence if I have faith or not. At the end of verse 16, he asks the question, what doth it profit? And in verse 17, he answers again. Even so, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. It is dead being alone. Then we come to verse 18, and it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So, as an illustration, if my wife has faith and I have works, I mean, we're married, right? Surely that would be good enough, right? As a team, that would be good enough. We know the answer, don't we? There is no faith if there's no works of faith in our life. It's impossible. The question has already been answered that we need faith that works. Then verse 19, he tells us, thou believest that there's one God. And I trust we all believe that we know that there's one God. One God the Father, and then there's God the Son and God the Spirit. But we're talking about one God. There's one God. And then he goes on and says, the devils also believe and tremble. Now, is that confusing? It's not. Belief is not faith. It's very closely related. It's two numbers off in the Strong's. If I believe, it's good, and the devils believe as well. What is that? Belief is not faith, but it's off two numbers in the Strong. It's 4,100 is belief, and faith is 4,102. You can believe something and not have faith, but you can't have faith and not believe. Believe is the verb form of faith. In other words, believe is that action, is the action between faith and works. That it's the thing that connects the two. It's the thing that causes us to do it. Believing. I hope I'm making sense. I'm probably getting myself in over my head here. It's an action. And then we have verses 21 to 23 that explain all three of these a bit more. And the three being faith, works, and believe. So let's read 21 to 23. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works, I didn't start where I needed to. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So the works here was taking Isaac and laying him up on that wood and tying him and raising the knife to slay his son. They walked 3 days till they got to that, and then they could see the mountain afar off. That was the works of the faith of Abraham here. That God told him to do it, and by faith, his faith was in God. But it was the works, that was the works of his faith. Why don't we read the account in Genesis 22 and glean a little bit from that story, because we're going to be using Abraham here more on this subject of faith. How can a work like that justify a man? Is a thought that came to me. How can that work, how can that justify Abraham? Verse 20, or Genesis 22, the first 18 verses. It says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon the mount, one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast observed my voice. So, in James, as we were reading, was taking this story of Abraham and is showing us about faith and works, or a faith that works. So how could Abraham possibly do this? How could Abraham say that God told me that I need to go sacrifice my son? Somehow there's something within the heart of Abraham that knew, and we'll get to that scripture later, that knew that God was in control of the situation. He knew that God would raise him from the dead or something. When God commanded, Abraham went. It says early in the morning. Early the next morning, he went. That's amazing. It seems to me I would have asked numerous people around to make sure that this is the right thing to do. But Abraham somehow knew God enough that early in the morning, he took off. He took off. And it says, in James 24 it says, and you see then how that by works a man is justified. It wasn't just that Abraham believed that he was supposed to do this. He actually went. And if you read in James, it says he offered, and in his mind it was already done. He already had done it. It was already, it states it in a way that it was complete in Abraham's mind. So his faith was not just something that he talked about, but it was something that had action, and it happened. So it is with us. When God commands, we do. And according to the scripture, that justifies us if we're not out just to save our necks, so to speak. But it is because we love Him. That action shows that there was faith. I'll go over a few of these scriptures. In verse 5 it says, and Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And these next five words speak loudly. And come again to you. He's saying that me and my son, we're going to go worship and come again to you. He's not saying, and I'll be back. He's saying that me and my son will be back. Shows faith. A faith in God that was unshakable. In verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went, so they went both of them together. There was a confidence that God's hand was in this whole thing. God is going to provide himself a lamb. Somehow, I don't know, I imagine that in Abraham's mind, God was going to provide a lamb. There's going to be a lamb there to sacrifice. And it was. By faith, there was a lamb there. And I believe God put it there. It wasn't an accident. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And that word obey and faith go hand in hand. So back to James. Faith is that thing that Abraham had that caused him to move into action. Faith in what? Faith. Abraham's faith was not in his faith. Abraham's faith was in his God. Abraham's faith was in his God. Not just a belief in God, there's a big difference there, but a faith in God. And I think it'll make more sense as we continue on here. You know, when we get born again, God puts His Spirit in us. And there's faith that is born there. When God puts His Spirit there, there's a little bit of faith that God puts there. And it's our duty to exercise that faith, to allow it to rise, to become a full fruit, a mature fruit. As tiny as it might be, but it is there. You and I can know that Jesus forgives sins, but do you believe that He will forgive your sins? You know He did it in mom and dad. You know He did it in other people. But do you believe that it is good enough for you? That's where faith, that's where God wants you, that's where He wants you to grasp that. But remember, believing this is not good enough. There's an action that we need to take. Remember, the devils believe and they tremble. So what is faith in this picture? Faith is when you start the necessary steps of being born again. Call upon the name of the Lord, as it tells us in Romans 10:13. Repent, make restitution, and the list goes on. But that is when faith is born in the heart, is when we start, when all I do is I know that it can happen, there's no faith. That's believing that you know that it can happen. But faith is when you actually do something about it. Faith is when you take the necessary steps of being born again. And remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is having that confidence that God will do what He says He will do, even if it makes no sense at all. The question that I have is, how did Abraham know that that was the voice of God? I mean, as we look back and we can read the whole story, if he would have told them two young men that went with him what he was about to do, what do you think they would have said? But somehow Abraham knew with an unshakable faith that he heard from God. Did God speak loudly out of heaven? How did Abraham know that this was God? And the question is the same for us. How do you and I know that we hear from God? How do we know? How did Abraham know that it was God that told him to sacrifice his son? The thing is, we need to be attached to that vine. We need to be vitally connected. And when we have fellowship daily with the Father and with the Son, If we have that connection daily, where we're having communication with Him, John 10 tells us, "My sheep know My voice." We know when it's the voice of God, and we also know that His Spirit, His voice, will never go against His Word. We know that. So I just want to put that out. When we are attached to the vine, then we know. We know that we're attached. We have a confidence, a trust, a security when we have faith. Back to Abraham, the father of faith. Let's turn to Romans 4. And this is again about Abraham. And see if we can shed a little bit more light onto this subject of faith as we try to describe Abraham's faith. It says in verse 19, and we'll read to the end of the chapter again. And I'm kind of breaking in the middle here. And it says, "And being not weak in faith," talking about Abraham, "he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Do we see faith there? "And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Verse 20, it says, "He staggered not." Isn't that amazing? He staggered not. There was no doubt. He was, in verse 21, it says, he was fully persuaded. That is what faith is. Who was he? What was he persuaded with? The promises of God. What did God promise him? God promised him that he would have a son, and all the nations of the world would be blessed through this. Now he had no son, and he was 75 years old. God said it. That is what faith is. God said it, I believe it, and I will order my life according to what God said, even if there is no physical evidence that it is true. If you have evidence, if I tell you there's a glass of water here, it takes no faith at all for you to see that, for you to know that, because you can see it. But it is when we can't see it, when we know that there's no way of us knowing it other than we're putting our faith. We believe it. We I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but when we see it, it takes no faith. Faith is when you cannot see it with your naked eye, but you still believe it. We're looking at it from history. We can see it in Abraham's story. But you and I cannot see today from the end of our time. We don't see what is there. But if we have that unshakable faith and we don't stagger at the promises of God, we can have that same, that same ending as Abraham had, where he's looked back as a father of faith. We might not be a father of faith, but a faithful man. He staggered not. Abraham, do you see the stars? Can you count them? This is how it will be with your children. And here he is, 75 years old. And it tells us here, he staggered not. He took God at his word. How long do you think it would take you and I to figure out that I must have not heard from God? Now here God tells a 75-year-old man, say I'm 75 years old, and God tells me, you're going to have a son. And I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to have a son. A month goes by, a half a year goes by, a year goes by, and I start thinking, I must have not heard from God. But it tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. In 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, and it went 25 years approximately when God finally gave him his son. And we have the story here that tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. That is what faith is. God promised. Abraham grabbed a hold of it and never left go. That's faith. That's faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. Amazing. Where was his faith? Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That's where his faith was in. And I think at times we work up something in our own mind, or we can, and it's really not where it needs to be. It needs to be, our soul needs to be anchored upon the Word of God, the promises of God, and not let go. And not let go. That is faith. Faith was taking God at His Word. Fully persuaded, no hint of doubt. The Strong's tells us, the fully persuaded to fulfill completely. Convinced to be fully assured. He staggered not. Because of this, today he is known as the father of faith. Let's look out in Hebrews 11 as we consider Abraham. Verse 17 to 19. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Look, it tells us that offered up Isaac. Now we know that Isaac never felt the knife. But in Abraham's mind, it was done. Offered up Isaac, he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him a like figure. In other words, and it says he also received him as a like figure. In other words, in Abraham's mind, he was already dead. God had to raise him back to life. If whence also he received him in a like figure. It says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in like figure. In Abraham's mind, he was dead. It was over. He was imagining that God was going to raise him up. Why? Because in verse 17 it says that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What is the promise? That in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God had promised him that Isaac is going to be the son which your seed is going to raise out of. And Abraham knew that. And he was holding on to that promise. God has asked me to offer up Isaac, and yet, that's whom God said my seed is going to come up. And that's up to God. He told me to sacrifice him. That's up to God how he's going to make him come back to life. Because he told me to sacrifice him, and he also told me that this is whom my seed is going to raise out of, be raised up out of. So that was faith. That is what faith is. It is not up to us to figure out how this is going to happen. I'm going to sacrifice my son, and in him is my seed going to be raised up out of. We're not to try to figure that out in our life. I don't know what it is in your life. It's not offering up your son. But many times God asks us to do something and we try to figure out what has to happen between here and there. And that is not faith. That's God's problem. That's up to God. God gives us a promise. He tells us to do something. And we're just asked to do it. And it's up to Him how He sees fit to fill that story in between. And Abraham's life, it was, Abraham, Abraham! And he could lay his knife down. But you and I don't know what that is in our life. When God tells us to do something, we have a promise that God tells us, we have the promises of the Word of God. We have that promise. And God asks us to do something. What lays in between there, you and I don't know. Even though it makes no sense, faith is what we take this action. We know that God is going to work it out because of the promises of God. And we have this amazing story. I was going to have you all stand, and Let's sing 627. And that is the title that I wanted to give them. The message here this morning was, Faith is a living power from heaven. Faith is a living power from heaven. Tells us that faith is a living power from heaven, which grasps the promise God has given, securely fixed on Christ alone, a trust that cannot be overthrown. Faith finds in Christ whatever we need, to save and strengthen, guide and feed, strong in the grace. Its joy is to share His cross and hope, His crown to wear. I think it is a very beautiful picture of what faith is. It's something that we were grasping hold of the promises of God, even though that we cannot see it. Is it making sense? I feel at times like I'm trying to say something that I'm struggling with the right words. So anyway, James 2, so we looked at works and faith, and we want to look at belief or believe. Yet, believe is a thing in a Christian's life that is connected from faith to works, like I said. It's the thing that connects faith to the evidence, to that fruit of the work that happens. Faith is that action in between there. True faith will work itself out. Abraham went up to the mountain. His faith in God never wavered. He staggered not. His confidence in God, God's word or promises, caused him to believe that what he was doing was right. Believe is the action between faith and works, as I said, as we're looking at it today. You might be thinking, well, the devils believe too. And you know, that is also the action that he knows that there's one God, and he knows he's damned for a Christless eternity. And so therefore he goes about devouring those he can. And that is also that belief between his action and his destination. He knows it. He knows where he's going. And it is that thing that causes him to go about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's what belief here is talking about, that the devils believe. They do believe. They do, yes. So as you see my actions, my works, what I do, what I say, what I listen to, the places I go, the things I look at, the things I watch, the list goes on. By these things, you can see if I have faith or not. Am I right? Isn't that what we read here with Abraham's story? It was the things that he did that proved that he had faith. And it's the same way with our life. You can see what I believe about God. It is an evident token. And so it is with all of us here. I can tell, or we can tell, what each of you believe about God by your actions. The only person that we can fool, I believe, or can fool the most, is me. I convince myself that I'm doing something, or I have faith, or I, whatever it is, I convince myself. We convince ourselves, and we're the person that we fool the most, not our brother and sister. You all, I can put on a front, but you will soon see through that front what I really am. And it goes that way with all of us. So today, as we listen about faith, how are we feeling? Like you have lots of faith? We want to make this a little practical or gain some lessons for ourselves now. In Matthew 17, verse 20, one verse, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," and I'll stop there and give a little, this was given, this verse is in the middle of the story of where they were to throw out the demons, they were trying to throw out a demon and they couldn't. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you." And remember, I said that when you get born again, God imparts a bit of faith in your life. Now, it's up to you to help that thing to grow. But there is God. When God puts His Spirit into your life, there's an evident thing there, right? There's something that you know when somebody has received the Spirit of God. There's something there. It might be very, very small. It might be that little apple that has just turned from a bud into a little green hard apple. But it is an apple. And that might be our faith this morning. And God is fine with that being our faith as long as we continue to nourish it and continue to help that thing to grow. We'll go on with that. We limit God so much on what He would like to do in our lives. If you're born again and have a relationship with Christ, you have faith. It might be small, but learn to exercise your faith. Remember, Abraham didn't get there in one day. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So the opposite is true as well. If we want to please God, let us put our faith in Him. Luke 17, a couple more verses about faith here. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto him, unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have the faith as a grain of the mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So the apostles were asking the Lord to increase their faith. Increase our faith. And Jesus just told them that, you know, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, just a little bitty seed of grain, it's a very small seed. If you have that much faith, you can tell a sycamore tree to be plucked up and to be moved into the sea. So it's not how much faith we have. It might be very little, but learn to use it. Now, I also want to say, as we look at the apostles' lives, we see that God did increase their faith. We see that by the time that each one of them passed away or was killed, their faith had greatly increased. But between the time when they asked God, the Lord Jesus, to increase their faith and to overhear, there was a great trying of that faith. So as we pray, I don't want to scare you to not pray to increase our faith, but I want you to know that God will try your faith. The only way that your faith can possibly grow is if God tries your faith. And that's what he had to do with the apostles. James 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the first six verses there, we read about what I just said. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How do we know that we have faith? God tries our faith. God tries our faith. When things are going easy, like I said earlier, when things are going easy, we really don't need faith. We really don't need faith. But it's an evident thing when things are tough, when things are hard, when things are out of my control, then is when we see if we have faith or not. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, James said, count it all joy, right? Count it all joy when your faith is tried. It is through trials that our faith is increased. In verse 6 it tells us, but let him ask in faith. Ask what in faith? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. In other words, should I not? Should I? That's not faith. Should I ask God or should I not ask God? That's not faith. Faith, yep, I'm going to ask God. And we go on with it. Faith. I don't think that we can waver and have faith. It is one or the other. God wants us to exercise our faith. In America, it is harder because we somehow can figure it out. Did any of you listen, probably most of you listened, I should say, to the story of those kidnapped in Haiti, right? Either listen to part of it or some of it. Or do you remember that bottle that was hid behind the tree there that they were not supposed to touch because the demons were going to be upset and mad, and it's going to, I forget what all was said, but it's going to cause a terrible problem. And what do you think they did? They went and they grabbed that bottle and threw it as far as they could. And I'm not going to say what all happened to that bottle, but why could they do that? Why could they do that? Their protection was in God, not in the bottle. Their protection was that God is going to take care of them. It doesn't matter. The bottle has no power, but God does. And so their faith was fixed in God, and God protected them. As mad as they got, God protected them. That's faith. And I had to think of, as we were in Bolivia, COVID hit, and the only place that we could withdraw money from was in Sucre. And so COVID hits, and we had just withdrawn some money, and we're locked down, and I probably shared this story before, but we're locked down, and we can't leave town. And it gets tighter and tighter to where you can't even leave your house other than on certain days. And I thought, well, it's locked down for 2 weeks. It'll be all right. I have enough money. But then 2 more weeks come and go. And there's still a lockdown. And then there's 2 more weeks. And I'm starting to wonder, what am I going to do? Am I going to take off for Sucre? How am I going to support my family? And here, there's numerous people that have tried that. There's one ATM machine in town. There's numerous people that have tried it, and it never works. And one day I went there as there was not much money left, and I put it in there, and I get money. And when you think of getting money, it was 500 bees, and 500 bees don't go very far with a big family. But it gave me some money. And throughout that time, I don't know how many months it was, throughout that time, there's times that I would go and I'd try to withdraw numerous times, and sometimes it would let me draw out 2, 3, 4 times a day, and other times it would not. But we never, ever went without. The days that we needed money, God provided money. And that was a tremendous faith builder in my life. God cares for His children. He really cares. Faith is something, faith is a noun. It's something that is evident. And I'm not saying that I had great faith, because, like I said, I was wondering what I was to do. In Hebrews 11, it tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again, it's the thing that we hope for, eternal life. How do you know that there's life eternal? Did anyone ever come back and tell us? We have the Lord Jesus, right? We have the Bible here that tells us. But how do we know that we can die in peace and be with God and not be scared? How do we know that? Because we have the Word of God. It is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't prove by someone coming back that you can talk to that was there and came back and can tell you what it is. But we can have that sure confidence. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So this morning, whatever you're facing that you're having a hard time trusting God for, God wants you to put your trust in Him. What kept the children of Israel out of the promised land? It was unbelief, wasn't it? What will keep us out of our promised land? It's unbelief. God did these great miracles, and yet they couldn't trust. They didn't have faith to believe that God was going to take them over there. And I believe it's a terrible slap in God's face if we try to take things in our own hand or we don't believe Him. We would never say that I'm more capable than God, None of us would say them words. But what about the actions of my life? Do they show something else? By my life, I'm showing you that I got it under control. I got it figured out. How is it with our life? Do you and I have, where is our faith? Is it in Christ or is it in the things that I can do? Is anything too hard for God? How big is your God? When a person lives by faith, the world will call that man a fool. Because it never makes sense to the natural man. And many times, Christians go back to the natural mind over faith because they don't want to be considered a fool. The way of the cross was never meant to be a picnic in the park. Verse 3 in chapter 11, it tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and these things are seen, were not made by things which do appear. And so here we know that God created the heavens and the earth. How do we know that? There's none of us here that I believe that would believe the evolution theory, right? We know that God created them. How do we know that God created them? That's part of faith. We know God said it in His Word. We know that He created the heavens and the earth. It is not. We just know that. We're confident that He did that. There's no doubt in our mind that He didn't do that. And yet, there's many other things that He writes in here that sometimes we struggle with or we have a hard time with. And I just picked out one this morning, and I don't want to take much more time here. It is in Mark 10. And I don't know why the Lord took me to this scripture. I have no one in mind, nothing in particular mind. It spoke to my own heart. Mark 10, verses 22 to 27. And it tells us this. This is right after the rich young ruler came to Christ. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. We believe God's word when He tells us that He created it out of nothing. And it still stands. But what about the scripture that we just read? Do we believe that a man that is trusting in his riches can go to glory? Do any of us believe that it is easier to take a camel through the eye of a needle, and I thought of bringing a needle and I didn't, to take a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a man that trusts in riches to go to glory? Do we believe that? The same Bible that tells us that God created heaven and earth in 7 days also said these words. And yet, what do we do with them? What do we do with them? We all know that it is absolutely humanly impossible. But how many of us have avoided riches because of this scripture? How many of us have avoided riches because of what we just read? I'm talking to myself. Is it unbelief? Are we bigger than God? You know, and I'm not just talking about business owners that might have more than I do. We all in this room have more than we need. There's not one of us that don't have more than we need. Am I right? And I want to bless you because you have blessed many, many people through your giving.
I want to bless you for that. I'm not here trying to downplay any of that.
But he's telling us we cannot trust in our riches. We dare not trust in the riches. And it doesn't matter if it's a dollar or if it's $100,000. He doesn't give us an amount. It's riches that he's talking about. Riches. What are riches? I'll leave that. Let's not try to justify ourselves. And let's live a radical life for Christ. God's word is full of these little warnings. I just wanted to point out a few this morning. I trust that we understand faith, but I wanted also for us to understand that there's some hard things in here, some promises, some hard things wrote in here that we also need to grasp with and live our lives accordingly. Can I handle riches? Do you believe that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand in eternity? Maybe some of you younger ones, maybe you're resisting Christ. Are you in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your life? We want to have fun yet. By faith, reach out to God and He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Do you believe that hell is the only place for those who don't repent? God is not impressed with people who resist Him. We read a beautiful story this morning of Abraham. That is the thing that impresses God. That is the thing that impresses God. When we take God at His word, He promised, He promises, He has great and wonderful promises. If we take these promises and by faith live our lives according to that promise, order our lives according to that promise, that is what impresses God. It is not all these other things. And again, choose faith, not feelings. Faith is an unshakable trust in God. One more scripture, and I'll be done here. It's in Hebrews 10. And that's my prayer for you all. 10:22 and 23. This is my encouragement to all of us. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Isn't that a blessing? That is my prayer and heart for all of us here. I'll read it again. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He, God, is faithful that has promised. God bless you.